Blog Talk Radio.
With the Chicken Whisperer radio show, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Friday, February 3rd, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and, of course, living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro. Nurturing life.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFRadio.com. That's GQFRadio.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today. It's normally Fun Friday, and it's still going to be Fun Friday here today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, but we'll see what today brings. We may have a little bit of time at the end of the show to give away a few prizes. If not, then we'll just basically have Fun Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on Facebook and give away a lot of prizes that were scheduled to be given away on today's show over the weekend periodically on our Facebook fan page. So no frets. We will get the prizes out to you from our wonderful sponsors. But it is Fun Friday. Like I always say, if you can tune in every day at noon, we guarantee a few laughs and a lot of fun. Yeah, you might just win something, and your week will go by a lot faster, I guarantee you, because lo and behold, here we are Friday afternoon. Let me think here. I believe I said that it was Friday. And I bet everybody's ready for the weekend. What are you doing on your homestead this weekend? You can share that in the chat room. Want to say real quick, if you're listening live, thank you very much. And if you're listening live, join us in the chat room. We have a lot of guests today. Thank you very much for tuning in. Just below the chat room window, there's a little button you can press. It says register now. And we would love for you to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you too can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk about all of our passions of homesteading, backyard poultry, urban agriculture, the whole nine yards. And so we ask our guests to do that, if you will. If not, you can just hang tight and enjoy the chat room and enjoy the show. But it is Friday, and we got a great guest coming on, actually a couple of great guests that are coming on today. It was last minute, but I've been promoting it out on Facebook and Twitter. We have a member of the Georgia House of Representatives. His district is Powder Springs, Georgia, which is District 36. It is Representative Earl Earhart, and he was sworn in. He's been there for a while, sworn in on January the 11th, 1989, and we'll get to tell him when we bring him on about 12:15. He can tell us about all the committees he's on, appropriations, banks and banking, higher education, rules member, state institutions and property member, all this stuff, and then kind of what he does for a living as well. So we'll be welcoming him. The topic today, we're going to be talking all about very exciting news. We're talking all about today, and that's why we have him on. He is a co-sponsor of the Georgia House Bill 853, also known as the Georgia Right to Grow Act. Again, when we get to this portion, I'll read the bill to you. It's short. It's straightforward. I just learned about a change this morning from our second guest that will be on today, Joseph Pond. If you're in the Atlanta area, you know that he has been working diligently, as many other folks in the Atlanta area, but specifically in Cobb County, to get the laws changed. He has done a fabulous job. He's worked very hard, and I think I had told him at one point that it can be done. He knows it can be done, just like in Nashville it can be done, and it was just done in big city Nashville. But it took 2 years. I know a lot of people want to, you know, they have their chickens, and they're like, oh, I don't want to get rid of them. Can we get this law changed soon so I don't have to get rid of them? And unfortunately, some cases it's done, and some cases it's not. It can be done. Nashville worked very hard, very responsibly for two long, hard years. Maybe even a little longer than that, but really diligently for 2 years. And just this past, I believe it was January 17th, they passed to allow chickens in the majority of areas in Nashville up there in Tennessee. So today we're talking about this Health Bill 853, and then so we'll welcome Representative Earhart on, and then of course after that interview we're going to bring on Joseph Pond, and he's going to be telling us really his personal story about his long battle, some of the twists and turns that have happened, and with his particular personal story. And so we'll be doing that after we bring on the representative from the state of Georgia. So you know as well as I, your longtime listeners, that we do travel around the country with this radio show. We provide poultry workshops, and we have helped a lot of people across the country, tips of the trade, different things to expect, different little loopholes to look for, things like that, where they live in a homeowners association, they live in a city, maybe a county or a town, working with their city council members or their aldermen, or you know they're named different things all over the country, and we just try to we help them. We have a lot of experience doing that. We have a very good success record I guess I don't know what our exact record is, if you were going to categorize it like football or baseball record, but we've been pretty successful. We're very proud of that, and we travel around and try to help people do that. I think it's very important, and you have a lot of people that are fighting for this for all their different personal reasons. Some people are fighting, and their basis is property rights. Some is, you know, the government shouldn't be able to control how I feed my family. Some is just, you know, hey, I want to know where my food comes from. Everybody has their own personal top of the list reason for wanting to do urban agriculture, homesteading, even on small lots, and it includes a lot of folks. Some people just push that property rights. Some people push the fresh food, knowing where my food comes from, wanting to feed my family, and government shouldn't encroach on my rights, my property rights, or my right to feed my family however I'd like to do that. So there's many folks that battle different ways for the laws to get changed. A lot of times it's in their local municipality. This, however, this bill, which we'll be talking about, basically, my understanding, will trump all of the local ordinances and laws that would prevent kind of raising, I believe it's chickens, rabbits, and gardens in Georgia, in the whole state. But it would not, of course, override homeowners associations. If you live in a homeowners association or you live in a subdivision that has a working and legitimate and legal homeowners association, and it's in the covenants that you signed when you purchased that house that poultry is not allowed, chickens aren't allowed, livestock, what, you know, even though chickens aren't really considered livestock, they're poultry, then this bill won't help you. But if you live in the unincorporated parts, even if you live in a city that has some type of law, then this would basically trump that, override that, and you would be able to keep, I believe it is, rabbits, chickens, and gardens. I found out this morning that this year it doesn't include goats. A couple of years ago, I went down with a group of people to fight for, I believe this was a bill, may have been a different number bill a couple of years ago. The late Bobby Franklin was supporting and did a great job with that. I went and attended. It passed through a couple of committees, but it never got to the floor for vote. Very disappointing. And so now it's kind of come back, and we hope that this year will be the year that this bill will get passed. The previous bill, I think, included goats. This year I found out this morning from Joseph that okay, gotcha. I was just looking in the chat room. This one does not include goats. I remember that there was somebody on the agriculture committee, even though it passed, that committee was concerned about the this odor of goats, specifically male goats. And so, again, you gotta tweak it to try to make as many people happy to get it passed. It may not be perfect, but it is a huge start, and this would be grand for a lot of people, even though it may not include. As we know, many goats, including miniature goats, are much smaller than a lot of dogs that people have, and female goats do not stink as their male counterparts do, and a lot of people keep a couple of small female miniature goats for the milk. So I guess goats aren't included, but we'll get all that information here in a few minutes when we welcome him to the show. Let me look at the schedule here for next week. Of course, Monday the 6th, we're going to welcome, of course, as always, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. He'll be here answering all of your chicken health questions. Tuesday the 7th, we're going to welcome world-renowned heritage chef Steve Pope. Everybody loves the heritage chef. And then Wednesday is an open day because it's the second Wednesday of the month. And then Thursday the 9th, the second Tuesday, we'll welcome Richard Frudenberger, who is the publisher of Back Home Magazine. And we'll have a great show topic for you on that Thursday. I don't have it in front of me, but I do have that. And then, of course, next Friday the 10th, another awesome, fun Friday for everybody, where we'll be giving away an awesome and a lot of prizes from our sponsors. So again, we thank you for tuning in today for this special show. Got a couple of guests. My co-host, Pat Foreman, is not with us today. Let me check the switchboard. I don't believe she's with us. And which, is, of course, is unfortunate, but she had to her full-time job was taking precedence, so she's got to pay those bills, so she's not going to be with us today. So bear with me. I'll try to run the chat room, try to run the the switchboard, try to run the commercials, and, of course, try to talk and stay focused with our guests that are going to be on beyond today. So you just want to bear with me as we do that. Chat room is filling up as always, and let's see, we can go down. We've got Andreas. Believe it or not, folks, And people think I'm pulling their leg when I say we have worldwide listenership. Here's a perfect example. Andreas is in the chat room right now. He is from Norway. Listen live on a daily basis. Brits and Grits, I believe she's West Virginia. We've got Chad. Chicken, I guess that's Please. East Dallas Dave, and then many, many guests. Again, guests, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you. If you want to take a moment to register, you won't get spammed with a bunch of email. It just gets you a pretty cool screen name, and then every time you join us, we have shows like this, or maybe every day, you won't have to do that. We got Midnight's MPA Mom. I think she's a Cobb County resident, anxious to hear about today's show. Poet's Wife from Nashville, Rhode Island Ruby in California, Super Grover from Kansas. We've got Trish, and let me see who may be calling. Hang on 1 second for me. I got a call coming in. Let me put on mute. It may be the representative or someone from his office. I told him to call this number. So give me just a second while I mute myself and take this call. Alrighty, sorry about that, folks. No problem at all. I'm looking at the switchboard here. That was Representative Earl Earhart, and he's going to be calling right back in, and we're going to bring him on live. It is 12:15. It is time for our guest segment, and he's going to call right back in, and we'll bring him live here. Let me get back over here to the chat room. We're going to talk all about it. So Chad is from Indiana, so thanks for mentioning that in the chat room as well. So perfect. Let me get back over here. There we go. Perfect. All righty. We're going to go ahead and go to the phone lines. And let me get right back over here. And, yep, we are. We are live right now with Earl Earhart. He is the a member of the Georgia House of Representatives for District 36 over in Powder Springs. Representative, thank you very much for joining us today.
No, great to be with you, Andy.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. It's getting a lot of chatter again. I remember a couple of years ago we were supporting this hot and heavy, and it just didn't seem to get down to the floor for a vote. And I hear that there's a lot of momentum with this bill, and we wanted to have you on. You're a co-sponsor, of course, of the bill. Let's see here. Let me just back up here with Jay Roberts, Tom McCall, Carla Drenner, and Terry England, and which is sponsored, again, the House Bill 853, Georgia Right to Grow Act. I'm going to read it here for a second for our listeners so they can kind of get the gist of it. A bill to be enacted to act and amend Chapter 1 of Title 2 of the Official Code of Georgia annotated relating to general provisions relative to agriculture so as to provide a short title to preempt certain local ordinances relating to production of agriculture or farm animal, excuse me, or farm products to protect the right to grow food crops and raise small animals on private property so long as such crops and animals or the products thereof are used for human consumption by the occupants, gardeners, or raisers and their households and not for commercial purposes, to define a term to provide for effect on certain local authority and causes of action, to provide for an effective date, and to repeal conflicting laws and for other purposes. And that's pretty much in a nutshell. I'm actually going to post this in our chat room as well. So let me copy this, and I'll get over here and post it in the chat room. But thank you very much for joining us today, and we do appreciate that. Tell us a little bit, if you would, about yourself. And I know that you're on a lot of committees there, a little bit about yourself, and then a little bit about your job there at the Capitol. And then we'll get right into the bill and what you think about it, why you're sponsoring, maybe some opposition and things like that. So I'll turn it over to you and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Certainly, Andy. My name is Earl Earhart. I've represented Cobb County, which is a suburban county, in the General Assembly for now. This is my 24th year. I've done it for a significant amount of time. This obviously came to my attention. I've seen the bill before. The mm-hmm. late Representative Franklin was a friend of mine, and mm-hmm. I was supportive of this in the past. As generally happens, sometimes it takes an individual constituent to uh-huh. bring about a sense of urgency in their own representative. That's what we do,
right.
Representatives who elect us. And the Savages are my neighbors and friends, and mm-hmm. I happen to know their story. And just the absurdity that someone who is responding to her own physician's orders to eat healthy and to do that type of thing in her life is now being precluded a basic freedom in this country by the overzealous bureaucracy. And in all fairness, the Cobb County inspections is not being doesn't have any flexibility under the statute. That's why we need to change in the overall law. So I mean, even these people don't want to do that. But it's an overarching regulatory environment. That's we're drowning in these things in this country. We're going to wake up one day and we're going to have to ask permission to take our next breath. So this is just one more in a sea of these. So well, what I've done is I took on the case for my constituents and the people I represent, and hopefully I'll have some success. I've done this a long time. I've been very fortunate with this. The chairman of the Agriculture Committee, Representative Tom McCall, is a co-sponsor. Mm-hmm. The chairman of the House Appropriations Committee is a co-sponsor. The chairman of the House Transportation Committee is a co-sponsor. Quite candidly, those three gentlemen are three of the most powerful people in the Georgia General Assembly, and their opinions and what they think ought to happen carries a lot of weight. So I would give our chances this year significant odds. Let's just say that.
Carla
Brenner is well respected, and she's a member of the Democratic minority in the House, but she is a very accomplished legislator, and on issues like this, she swings a lot of weight. So I think we've got a good chance.
That's fabulous. I got so many questions kind of popping into my head here. The first one is, so if people can't hang on for a long time today, maybe they're at work and they wanted to tune in, tell us what, as Georgia residents who want this to pass, who really want to support this, and what can we do? What's the most effective thing that we can do, or maybe the top two or three things that we can do to help you and the co-signers of this bill get this passed this year?
I think the most effective thing that the listeners can do is to write their legislative their members, their House and Senators, in a very well written, very and of course it's going to be well written because it's coming from our constituents, but uh-huh. never in having read thousands of constituent letters over the years, those that are you know threatening or you know if you don't do this I'll never vote for you, and that's not as compelling, believe me. But the person who says, you know, look, here's what I think. This is why it's important to me. Can you support it?
Right.
Everybody tends to push back when you browbeat them. That's
right,
human
right.
nature.
So I
think a well-reasoned argument to the legislators who represent you goes a huge way towards the success of this. The other side of the equation is, you know, those who are going to push back are the usual suspects. It's going to be the Georgia Municipal Association. You got to love it. Your own governments are down there lobbying against your own freedoms. There's something wrong with that, but that's the way it is. They're going to be down there, and they are. Or you think it was the giant killer chicken that was after them? They're going to spend millions of dollars in lobbying effort over chickens and some organic vegetables growing on somebody's porch. The world is standing on its head. Their priorities are a little bit skewed, is my
right.
opinion. I think I'll be able to demonstrate that. And the other side of this question, we're not precluding a local government from connecting the common sense gene, mm-hmm. the gene that says, okay, if somebody truly is, if you read that legislation, if somebody's creating a public nuisance, then, I mean, if it's a giant, smelly, awful chicken coop that's keeping their neighbors up all night long, every night, and of course, it's called in the statute the reasonable man test. Mm-hmm. Then the local government is not precluding from shutting that down. Nobody would want to do that.
Absolutely.
But use it. Look at it case by case. Connect your brain. Don't just get some overarching bureaucratic regulation that sweeps everything in front of it.
And that's
what we do as government, and
yeah.
that's what I'm going to change with this.
And I think you would agree, too, and I've told this across the country when I talk to city council members. I'm like, look, if you really sit down and look at what you already have in place, there are already laws on the books that could combat any problem foreseen by allowing a few backyard chickens, rabbits, the gardens. I mean, absolutely, they're already in place. You don't have to, you know. What if a chicken's running loose? What if a dog's running loose? How do you handle that right now? Well, what if it starts to smell? Well, just because it's a chicken coop, what if someone's garbage starts to smell or they have a trash pile that starts to smell? You would handle it the same way anything else, regardless if it's a chicken, a dog, or a cat, or loud music. What if a rooster's crowing? What Well, then, you know, what if a dog's barking at 2 a.m.? What if they have a loud music playing at 2 a.m.? How do you handle that? Just because it's,
well, what if
you know,
a teenager revving up his muscle car? Of course. They're, you're right. They have tools to deal with this. But what they want is, it's an old precautionary principle. We're gonna put our thumb down on top of you to prevent any way, shape, or form of anything ever happening. Well, you know, why don't we just lock everybody up so they don't ever cause any problems, and then let the city councils of the world just, you know, meet in a giant vacuum, because then they wouldn't have anything to do.
Exactly. You mentioned, I love it. You mentioned earlier to write the representative. Now you're right there. Or is it more effective to do email or actually good old put a stamp on a letter? Both. And then of course the $1 million question that we always really think about when we do this is that, okay, is your gatekeeper actually seeing this? Maybe someone in your office that filters this. Do y'all actually get these stamped letters in the emails? How does that work?
I tell you what, personally, maybe I've been down here long enough and I'm old-fashioned. There's nothing that compels me like a handwritten stamped letter, because I know somebody sat down, took the time, and it's truly theirs. I tell you, the thing that does not compel you is an obvious email blast that somebody filled in the blank with their name.
Right.
Get 3,000 of the same thing. That's useless.
Yeah, form email or form letter, correct.
Form email, yeah. Nothing wrong with a good email. And I'd say most legislators are very aware of all the emails they get and take the time to really look at probably 98% of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the blast emails, you can't function with them.
Sure.
I can't do anything with 4,000 emails and all say the same thing, other than hit a button and send them 4,000 replies that say the same thing.
Exactly.
There's not enough hours in a day. But if you send, I would suggest both, individual email and a stamped envelope. I'm telling you, that one gets you.
Right.
And it's generally read by the legislators. I read mine.
Mm-hmm.
I admit it. I don't read all 4,000 blast emails. No.
Right.
Now, I'll read the first two or three, and then I figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, a good handwritten stamped letter addressed to you, and then an email that comes from a real email address, because you can see that, and then a unique title in the subject line, and then, again, individually handwritten, not kind of a form letter or blast email. Absolutely, I can see how that would make a big difference when you've got a job to do, and then all of a sudden you've got these folks that are trying to educate, and that's what I think it boils down to, is educating them about what this movement is all about and why it's important. I completely agree. So that's awesome. Thank you for that as well.
Have them call their city council and say, wait a minute, I don't want you paying lobbyists to go down there and push against my wishes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because the city council, everybody that's listening to you has plenty of close city council people that are real close to you. And if you live in a city or close to one or that kind of thing, you're going to see them at the Waffle House. You go right up to them and say, look, your lobbyist is down there, and you're using my money to lobby against me, and here's what I think. They'll start hearing that. I'm telling you. That's a compelling argument.
It's like if you have to hire an attorney, and it's happened before where I'm keeping chickens. Now, I have to hire an attorney to support my cause, but my tax dollars are paying for the attorney that's fighting me.
Bank calculus. Same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Question here in the chat room just asked. My understanding, and we'll get kind of the process of what this road includes, and at the end I'll ask, well, we can ask it now, and then we'll kind of cover the path that this bill has to take before it becomes law, and then also here, does the governor support this bill?
Haven't talked to him
about it yet.
Don't know yet.
Okay, we're not sure.
I think some letters to his office are appropriate, too.
Okay.
He gets a million, so he may not read all of them. But there are people who are listening to you that know him. I mean, he's a down-to-earth guy. I mean, he's from Gainesville. He's from the chicken capital of the world. I mean, come on. The man is a great governor, and he listens, too. So he'll listen to well-reasoned arguments on an issue, and he'll make his decisions based on that. And I will be talking to him eventually about this.
Wednesday
morning next week is the hearing at 8 o'clock in front of the Agriculture Committee. I have every expectation that it'll pass out that morning.
Yeah, I know that. I think a couple of years ago, I went down and attended a couple of committee, I guess, hearings or meetings, and it passed through two, and we were late in really pushing this that year a couple of years ago, and I think 2010, and it just kind of fizzled, never quite made it to the floor. So in that question, my understanding is the governor ultimately would have to sign this once it's voted for and approved on the floor and it passes. But can you tell us kind of, okay, and you just told us there's a meeting coming up.
Real simple, how a bill becomes a law. It's
yes, just, exactly.
What happens is it'll go to the committee. I'll present it. The committee will vote up or down. If I'm successful, it goes to the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee, which I chaired for years, is the gatekeeper to the floor of the House of Representatives. They'll decide whether or not to put it on the floor of the House, the daily calendar. Once that's successful, it'll go to the floor of the House of Representatives where it'll be debated. And that'll be a good day because you'll hear from every one of these little fanciful, fastidious government bureaucrats who don't want people to actually be able to grow their own food or have their own chickens. And they'll troop down there and tell you the Chicken Littles.
Right.
The sky is falling. And they'll troop down there and tell us that, the world is coming to an end. The giant chicken monster is going to eat the world. And then we'll listen to that. And I suspect it will prevail on the floor of the House. When it passes the House, then it goes to the Senate. It goes to the same committee process. I'll present it in the Senate committee. And then if we're successful there, it goes to the Senate rules. Then it goes to the Senate floor. If it's successful there, I need to find somebody that will support it or present it on the floor of the Senate. I haven't gotten to that point yet.
Okay.
And then if it's successful there, then it goes to the governor's office for signature. And that's generally around June or July.
Okay. Is it in any of this process, I know it's a little bit different than, say, going to city council meetings where, public has 3 minutes to speak. At any part of this pathway that you just described, are there any opportunities for public to speak?
Generally, there may be, depending on the level it rises to, whether one of the committees will take public testimony on it. I don't know that we'll need that in the House. I'd rather have success,
right?
And hope that it does real well in the original hearings, and then we don't have to have a public hearing. But I suspect we'll have a public hearing, possibly at some time during the process. I just don't know when. And right now, I'd rather move it forward than worry about trying to set up a hearing.
As long as
I'm having success.
But
don't know. Look, a gift horse in the mouth. A yes is good.
Absolutely. Oh, without a doubt. What, at this point, it's still early in the game, and I'll share with you, I remember you talking about all these little groups maybe through Atlanta that's going to come and say, hey, the sky's falling. I remember one, and I'm probably going to totally murder this title, but I think it was something like she represented the Homeowners Association of Georgia. So I think she kind of represented a Homeowners Association group in Georgia that maybe oversees all of them or is a support group for all of them.
Oh, yeah. I suspect they'll have something to say. That's a group of people who represent homeowners associations. And if there's anything that is worse than a government bureaucrat, it is a homeowners association bureaucrat. They are the world's greatest busybodies. They gravitate to those jobs because they've never had any supervisory role or power in their entire lives, and nobody else wants to sit on those. And they get power, and they're going to tell you what color your garage door has to be, and they're going to. You remember Miss Kravitz from Bewitched? I mean, I see these people. That's who it is. They're looking out their blinds at everybody. Oh no, their car is going to drive into a house that hasn't been painted in 2 days and 27 minutes, and it should have been painted at 25 minutes. And now I have some reason in my life, and I can go out and cause my neighbor a problem. That's who those are. Yeah, they'll be down there.
When she got done speaking, and that was, I think that was at the agricultural committee meeting, she got done speaking and then sat down. And then after it was all over and we all stood up, I walked up to her very politely and I said, I introduced you, told her who I was. And I said, I just have a simple question to ask you. I said, do you have absolutely any proof or documentation to back up anything you just told these great folks? And her answer was no. None, absolutely none, because I wanted to ask her, because I've been begging for years, Earl, about, show me the proof where anywhere in the world, I've been begging for it, nationwide radio, book, everything, that, show me where they talk about property values. Show me anywhere in the country where somebody got less for their house because a neighbor had chickens, or the county or city they were selling their house in allowed chickens. It doesn't exist. Well, her answer was, when I asked if she had any proof to back up anything she just told those great folks down there, no, she had no proof at all. And I just kind of shook my head.
Facts are not relevant to those busybodies. It's all about their own little personal power trips. And they get away with it because they're squeakier wheel than most. You know, and most of the others are busy making a living, feeding their families. these people got nothing better to do. And they have their own association, which is
right.
Scary.
Yeah. Now, we talked about kind of that group. Who? I shouldn't say who. I said, what at this point? What opposition do you expect, or maybe already see as we start to go down this road? Mainly these outside groups that may start flooding.
Those are the only things that I've seen. You know, the giant reasonable person caucus out there is supportive of what we're trying to do. The people who understand basic freedoms and the idea that there's absurdities to the size of the government bureaucracies. The only real opposition is the municipal association, mm-hmm. which are your city councils, who just, mm-hmm. again, they want to control every aspect of your life. They really don't want you making any decisions for yourself. And they'll scream local control. Well, that's such a tired old saw. The most local of all control is the individual, who that's who we represent. That's much more of a local control than some city council group. So, you know, it's used as a panacea every time they want to be against something. But we have the absolute jurisdiction as legislators ourselves, elected ourselves, to represent individuals, and that's what we're doing here, these individuals who want to exercise those basic rights. And the other is that crowd of homeowners association people. They're who they are. I call them the busybodies. even busybodies need love, too. So, you know, it's free country. Come down and busybody away. I just disagree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. This is exciting news, and I've let a lot of people know. I know Joseph Pond, who's doing a fabulous job. The other young lady, who's your neighbor, who's having to get rid of their chickens, kept again responsibly and the way it should be. What now? I heard Joseph told me earlier today, because I know the bill a couple of years ago basically was kind of rabbits, chickens, goats, and gardens, and he had told me this morning that goats had been taken out. I remember a young lady on the Agriculture Committee said something about, you know, have you ever smelled goats? But it was actually, she refrains and said male goats that we know of that have the odor, not the female goats. But I heard that goats have been taken out. So are we talking chickens, rabbits, and gardens basically at this point?
Chickens, rabbits, and gardens. And you had it right. I listened to it a little bit before you clicked me on the phone. You know, sometimes you make a few compromises to guarantee the overall success, and that's mm-hmm. that's all it really is. I mean, I have goats. I have goats, llamas, sheep, and everything else. So my goats don't smell, but I'd rather be successful with the underlying bill than worry about that right now. So
I'm
not going to get too excited about that. I mean, maybe sometimes you pick your battles and you fight it.
Yeah.
Fight that apple incrementally.
It's kind of like I tell a lot of local folks battling, like, look, I've got 8 chickens. They only want me to have 4. And I'm like, look, take it. If you can get one more vote that would actually pass this ordinance, one more vote, she says, I'll vote if it's 4 but not 6, take it. Because what we'll do is after, say, 1 or 2 years, we can go back to the city council. We can ask for 7, 8, or 9 chickens, and we can use their own information against them. We can say, okay, now tell me.
Not a problem.
Yeah, there's no problems here. There hadn't been any complaints, and so why don't you want us to have 6 now, even using your own information that shows there hadn't been a problem with 4?
That's it. Oh, I foresee a lot of success, Andy, and I appreciate all the support that you and all your listeners and bloggers have been giving me. I've gotten a lot of really nice letters or emails.
That's very good. Hopefully we can get all that information out there, and you'll get a lot more. And we know to handwrite, if possible, good emails, not form letters and things like that. So, well, Earl, again, representative with the state of Georgia House.
Fine.
Earhart, and I appreciate you coming on 100%, and we'll have you back on again, and maybe you can kind of keep us up to date at how this is going on. We'll try to do our best. But again, thank you so much for
coming on
today and letting us know where it stands.
Thanks, partner. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. All righty, how cool is that? What a cool gentleman. It's a pleasure to have him on today and get all of that information. And just fabulous, fabulous. And what we'll do is on our Facebook page, is we'll and Twitter, and of course on the Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup group. Then Joseph Pond also has a website. He'll be joining us here in a minute. I think it's GeorgiaFoodRights.org, but don't quote me on that. He'll tell us here in a moment. We're going to bring him on. He's going to tell us about his story that first sparked a lot of interest in Cobb County, and he fought for a long time. And then currently there's another young lady just within a matter of a couple of months that now is getting some TV time on the local news about, again, Cobb County cracking down on chickens and another owner there that's had to get rid of her chickens. I think she's even in the chat room. I want to say it might be, let me see, was it NPA Mom, I think, is I'm guessing, maybe the young lady that's had to get rid of her her pet chickens there in Cobb County. So, fabulous interview. We'll do our job to try to keep you posted. When we see it warranted, we'll try to have Representative Earhart back on the show to give us any kind of updates, any type of urgent situations where we need to really contact a lot of one or two people a lot to try to, again, educate them, not to convince them, but really educate them on what this movement is all about and what it really means, and so why it wouldn't be an issue and why we need to pass this so we can, again, feed our family. We know where our food comes from. Government shouldn't tell us how we can feed our family healthy food and have a garden and have some rabbits and have some chickens. So, and then again, maybe years down the road, a couple of years, they can see it's not a problem. Maybe we add an amendment in there to allow some miniature goats, that only females in certain size. And I'll tell you, they're talking about some land sizes in the chat room. Before my wife and I, both my wife and myself, were Atlanta natives, born and raised. And, For about the last decade, we lived in really unincorporated Fulton, just outside of Alpharetta, which then maybe about 4 years ago became a city of Johns Creek, Georgia. And we lived on a quarter of an acre. We lived on a quarter of an acre. And I'm just going to kind of tell you how what all we had. We had two goats. We had probably about anywhere from 12 to 16 chickens. We had a beautiful sized garden. We had water collection barrels. We had worms in a worm bin or a worm hotel for composting. We had two dogs. We had a compost pile. We had a compost bin. And again, still plenty of yard for the dogs to roam. We had a fenced backyard, and we lived on a quarter of an acre. And we did this very, very successfully. In fact, we had on many occasions several groups come to visit our home to see how all of that could be done responsibly, clean, safe, aesthetically in a backyard on a quarter of an acre. The Georgia Master Gardeners, the Atlanta Master Gardeners came out. We had about 30 of them standing in our backyard just looking at amazement at how we had all this done on a quarter of an acre. And they were just amazed, and none of them had a lot of experience or none experience with backyard chickens, and they would just look at my chickens and just be, is that all they do? You know, they're just kind of sitting there. They're not loud. They're not stinky. They're kind of sitting there enjoying the sun in their little dust bath there, and you know, they were amazed. And we even said, how many chickens do you think we have here? I don't know, 8 or 10, and I think that time we may have had about 20. So it was they couldn't even see them all. They couldn't hear them. We had no roosters. We didn't need any roosters because we were wanting them for pets and eggs and composting, education, and fertilizer. But it was really amazing that we had so many people come. It was great that we had so many people come and visit because we could educate them. See, you know, when I told you in the email about all the things we had on a quarter of acre, your eyes got big and you shook your head and said, this can't be. Now you're here. You're in my backyard. What do you think? And they were all amazed at how this could really be done. Yeah, you're going to have a bad apple in the batch every now and then that's not going to take responsibility. And like the representative said, you know, there's already enough rules on the books to deal with anything or any problem that could come out of having a few chickens. So no problems there. I believe maybe Joseph Pond is listening. We're going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to welcome Joseph Pond. He's got a Facebook page, and he's got a website. He's going to tell us about that. But most importantly, we're going to tell you kind of how ridiculous this be. We've interviewed a lot of people across the country over the last 4 years of doing this radio show that have battled City Hall, and their stories, some just make you roll your eyes, shake your head, and almost just bring you to tears at the ridiculousness of some of their battles. But he'll be here to join us and tell us all about his story, and it'll be a definite. So stay with us, folks. Today we're talking about a more of a local event, Georgia House Bill 853. But you know, if you live in another state, this is something that you want to watch and see what kind of success we have, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because it may be something you may want to look at instead of really fighting and educating all these little city halls. Go to the top, go to the state, go into the Gold Dome and try to get this done one time and see if it may work for your state. So you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, and we will return right after this short break. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com, or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. And you can find all the great Ware products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
Oh, All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I don't know, many of you aren't in the chat room, but oh my gosh, the chat room chicken ears are so funny sometimes. I just have to put myself on mute from laughing out loud into the microphone. But I hit the wrong button and the button stuck when I went to the critter-cages.com commercial. And the button stuck on the theme song, so I hit it again to try to stop it, and it's it sounded like some Sir Mix-a-Lot type of music that I was doing on some type of scratch in a record. And so Grover, a longtime listener in Kansas, says, "Yeah, it's Mix Master CW." Oh, my goodness gracious, y'all crack me up sometimes. Oh, my goodness. I love doing this show. I'm just so blessed to be able to do what I love to do and meet so many great friends across the country. How fun is that? Thanks, Grover, for a good laugh. I got tears running down my face now. That's so funny. I can't stop laughing. Mixmaster CW. Gotta love it. I may try that sometime on another show when we're trying to get the laughs going. All righty, back to seriousness here. It's again, it's Friday. We normally have Fun Friday and give away tons of prizes, but a little bit more serious today. But we're talking about the Georgia Right to Grow Act, also known as Georgia House Bill 853, and we just talked to one of the co-sponsors of that bill under the Gold Dome, the state capitol here in the state of Georgia. And so now we're also going to bring live, it's a pleasure, go over here to the switchboard and bring live Joseph Pond, and he's going to share his story, I guess briefly, because he could probably talk about 2 hours about all the things that have happened, but he'll tell us his story, some of the crazy things that have happened. And, of course, ultimately the disappointment of him having to rehome his chickens. And, of course, he can tell us the name and about this new family also that's had to rehome their chickens while all this is kind of taking place. Joseph, thank you very much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, first and foremost, tell us, because I've been known to forget things, tell us and give us kind of the links and how to support you. I know you've got both a Facebook page about Cobb County and backyard chickens, and then you also have a website about the right to grow food in Georgia. Tell us those so we can make sure we get those on the air.
The first one is www.gafooderights.org. That's for the Georgia Food Rights. From there, you can find our Facebook pages. You can find links to the assorted congressmen, the local legislators as well. The other group is Backyard Chicks, spelled CHIX.org. And that is the Backyard Chickens Alliance of Cobb County.
Okay. Perfect. Very good. And I know that y'all are doing lots and lots of hard work, and I've followed the story, and I would have loved really to help back when. It's been a little while, and I don't know if I can ever told you. I know that you've been a fan on Facebook for a while and whatnot, that kind of about that time was going on. We had delivered our first child, and we were moving 3 hours away from up there to down here, and of course still working both of us full time, and she was trying to get a new job so she could work from home, and it was just, and we kind of just took a little bit of a siesta from doing a lot of traveling because of all those major things. Hang on just a second. And phone was ringing. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't anybody from the Capitol that was wanted to follow up. But yeah, doing a fabulous job. We've got the websites out. Tell us, and you've kind of got, I mean, I think you personally, you yourself, you've kind of gotten this bill back from 2 years ago. You've kind of got, you're really the front runner here and the head honcho trying to bring this back to life, giving it CPR and getting these folks down at the Capitol involved again. Is that right?
I'm just the loudest. It's a natural gift of mine. There's a lot of people, that have worked very hard to get us to where we're at today. So, but yeah, the folks in Cobb County wouldn't listen to me, so I said, fine, let's take it up a notch and go downtown and see what they have to say.
Very good, very good. I know we've got, he's talking about a meeting, I think, next Wednesday there at, the Agricultural Committee, trying to get it passed through there. So I think, I agree, as I mentioned earlier, you know, and all these other states that are listening in, if you got a problem locally, like you just said, take it up a notch, you know, if you can get it passed at the state level, then you won't have all these folks fighting their little municipalities throughout the whole state. It's already a done deal, yet you still fought for it and worked hard and you still had to educate these folks, but it was a one-time deal for everybody in the state, so that completely makes sense. Tell us, because I think this is interesting, we haven't had, actually, in a little while, anybody in your shoes from across the country come on and tell their story, so tell us a little bit, again, your story and the amazement, again, kind of following you and your page. It just sometimes I'm like, here we go again. I've heard that before, rolling my eyes. Here we go again. Oh, they're trying that. Oh, they're trying this. And now he's going to have to, unfortunately, rehome his ladies there in his backyard. So when, for you and your family, did this all start?
June 29th, mm-hmm. We got a letter from the Cobb County zoning enforcement, and they said, you have chickens, the chickens have to go. Mm-hmm. My wife talked to them on the phone. We found out it was a neighbor that lived behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and talked to the neighbor, and she said, yes. She talked to her friend that was on the Cobb County Board of Commissioners and told her about our chickens. She told me that she was very concerned that her property value would drop. That was her only objection.
That was my next question for you, Joseph. Was I've heard same thing happened in Johns Creek. There was people were keeping them responsibly, so there was no complaint about smell or noise or anything like that. No complaint. It was just they call and say they have chickens. I mean, no complaint,
yes,
about it, other than just that they have chickens. And so she was concerned about property values, which you and I both know. And like I just told the representative here from Georgia that, you know, show me the proof. I've been begging for that for years, and it doesn't exist. So she's worrying about something that would, you know, doesn't exist, which is crazy. So you got the knock at the door. Continue. Didn't want to interrupt, but that was pertinent. So go ahead.
Oh, no, that's fine. I got in touch with my local commissioners and my representatives and such, and basically what I was told, I had three options: get rid of the chickens, file for a variance, or take the county to court.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to get rid of the chickens.
Sure.
It was very daunting, the idea of taking the county to court. So I said, okay, I'll file for a variance. And I went down and filed for a variance. It cost... It cost about $150 with $100 of that being refundable. And essentially it bought me about 2.5 months, 3 months by the time that process worked itself out. Once you get your notification, if you start either an appeal or a variance hearing, it kind of stops everything in its tracks. So I didn't have to get rid of my chickens.
Sure.
And I went down, and when the time came, and I, you know, worked on a speech, and I had 5 minutes to, or 10 minutes to convince the board, and then anyone that objected to it also had 10 minutes, and this, of course, was the variance board. And we gave our speeches, and then their lawyer got up there and said, well, you know, all that's fine and dandy, but according to this section and this section, we can't give you a variance anyway. And it's like, really? At the same time all that was going on, I created the Backyard Chicken Alliance of Cobb County. Through your meetup group, through specifically, and other online forums, I found that there were a load of people in the same boat I was in that wanted chickens, couldn't have chickens, and all that. And I thought, well, the only way anything is going to change is if we all band together. So that's when I created the Backyard Chicken Alliance. And we started attending city council meetings or county commissioner meetings and trying to, like you said, educate, convince. I was always very specific to say that I wanted to work with the commissioners, mm-hmm. not fight the commissioners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think this goes back to the conversation you were just having with Representative Earhart.
Sure.
You know, you don't want to approach it with a combative attitude. And but we showed up at the meetings in Cobb County, Georgia. They only consider zoning, redoing zoning ordinances once a year, and that's in January. And they have to have all their little ideas ready by the end of November, and you have to have two commissioners on board in order to change something. So essentially I was trying to get the county code changed at the same time trying to get a variance. But I couldn't get the variance, couldn't get the code changed.
Mm-hmm.
There's some chatter that I've heard that there's a state law 2-1-6
right.
that allows everyone in the state of Georgia to have chickens. Now, I read that, and I could see the logic behind that,
mm-hmm.
and I said, well, let me see if I'm right or not, and I tracked down Representative Tom McCall, who was the sponsor of that bill,
mm-hmm.
and I had a long conversation with him. Now, in his opinion, that is not why that law was made into effect.
Mm-hmm.
It had
mm-hmm.
something to do with some other stuff. But through talking to him, and I told him my story, and we talked for about 45 minutes, Representative McCall is a farmer. He's not a lawyer. He's not a bureaucrat. He's a farmer. He's also head of the Agricultural and Consumer Affairs Committee. He said, 10 chickens. He said, those are pets. That's not, you know, everybody should have 10 chickens.
Mm-hmm.
He said, let's see what we can do after the first of the year. So... at that point, I did try, after the variance hearing, to file a lawsuit based on 216,
mm-hmm.
but due to some clerical errors, my lawsuit was unsuccessful.
Amazing.
So,
basically, it came down to dotting I's and crossing T's on that, basically, I remember. Something
yeah.
just pretty simple, yeah.
It was insane, in my opinion. But...
amazing. And so, and you've got children, and again, these were your pets. And so that, you know, how long did you have your chickens before you got that knock at the door on, I think you said June 29th?
About 3 months.
Okay.
I had picked some little baby chicks up in Dahlonega.
Sure.
And, you know, for a brooder, we used an old guinea pig cage in the living room. And my children, you know, love animals. My daughter, Madeline, and we raised the chicks, got them old enough. I built a coop in the backyard. It was a fabulous educational tool so that the kids could watch them grow, you know, and see the process. Now, my wife and children are vegetarians, so they would never enter the, you know, they would eat the chickens.
Sure.
But they certainly eat the eggs. But, yeah, I guess I'm kind of a newbie in a sense compared to a lot of folks. But,
but
you know,
you learned real quick about a lot of things and about the boat that you're in with so many other people around the country. And it's amazing. Now here's for our other listeners and new listeners, here's the good news. And this is not scientific. And I tell folks when things are fact and not, but after doing this full time for 4 years and being involved for probably a decade, we feel that in our best estimate would be about 85% of the cities that approach changing their laws to allow backyard chickens end up doing so. And again, yes, some are more strict than others, 3 chickens, some are 8. Then you have a city like San Diego that just said, oh, chickens, goats, and bees are all allowed. Come on. And they even passed laws that said you could have a little neighborhood a fruit stand in your yard to sell your goodies. So it was, it varies across the board. But the good news is that we feel that it's about 85% based on everything we've seen in news reports and covering it. You heard me telling Representative Earhart that, you know, it's some faster than others, like Nashville. It failed 2 years ago, and they had tried, you know, maybe not quite as organized, but tried kind of quickly 2 years ago to get it passed, and it did not. And then two long, hard years with that group up there, UCAN, and they did such a fabulous job and organized and using their brain and had, you know, people to sponsor their ordinance. And as you know, on the 17th, it passed, and, you know, 2 years later, blood, sweat, and tears. And they still have a little bit of work to do because some of the city councilmen opted out their district, which that made a lot of people mad. And I said, well, you need to put as much time now really into getting firing them, basically, as you did, you know, supporting this chicken ordinance that ended up passing. So it can take a while, 2 years for Nashville. But we all know, you know, you've done the research. We feel, you know, it can be done. It's been done. And like you said, and I said, you know, it's educating them. And you know as well as I, and people out there have gone down this path, and just like in Nashville, I don't care if, and I'm just going to say it because that's, if the good Lord Almighty came down and said chickens are beautiful and fine and will cause no problems, you will still have people that have their mind made up, no, 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 no chickens. I don't care what you tell me, what facts you put in front of my face, no matter, you know, what kind of studies you put in. I don't, you know, professor of poultry scientist, extension agents, whatever, they won't even read it. It's no, period. And one of my biggest problems as well, I'm sure you've run into this, and at Nashville, I really press this point with all the commissioners, is that, you know, yes, everybody understands. You don't have to mention it. We all understand that you are elected and you have constituents, and your job really is to do what the constituents want you to do because they put you in office to represent them. We get that. We learned that in sixth grade. But what you, I feel, need to understand as a council member is that if your constituents are coming to you and just saying, I don't want chickens, you know, I had 400 emails from my constituents that said they don't want chickens, okay? But if they are saying no based on false information, stereotypes, myths, misunderstandings, and they're saying no to something that doesn't even exist and hasn't even occurred ever in the history of man, then I feel like they have a responsibility to truly look at the facts, get educated on the matter, and then vote based on the facts, not just, oh, all my constituents don't want this, but, that would be like 400 constituents calling up and saying, I don't want chickens because they grow to be 15 feet tall and could probably crush my child. Okay, well, I'm voting no because all 400 don't, you know, I've gotten 400 emails that don't want it. When it's, so that, I have a big problem with that, and I've started pushing that lately to try to remind them that, you know, just because they say no, if it's based on false information and unfactual information, you need to still do your homework and make a educated vote when you vote. And again, still, even then, I sent an email to all 42 or 43 of the council members up in Nashville. Said, look, very nice, polite, I am here if you need me. I said, I'm really unbiased because whether you pass chickens or not, I can still keep mine. So, I mean, you know, hey, I don't really have a dog in this fight. Yeah, I'm pro-chicken, but I'm also here. If you have any questions at all, if you want to eliminate any of these myths, want to know the facts, want to know what other towns have done across the country, please contact me. I'm here. Here's my number. And one out of the 43 reached out to me. But it did pass. I think it was like 21-15 up there, so it can be done. And like I said, I know Cobb County is going to be one of those 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the road. We talk about it on the show a lot. Eventually, with this movement, and I hate people when they call it a fad. Like, you know, it is not a fad. It is, and because as you well know, Joseph, it's like nobody standing alive in America right now is more than two, maybe three generations away from getting their chickens from, or getting their food from their own backyard. And so it's people, and what irritates me too, Joseph, you've probably seen it posted, is that it says, well, why did they want to return to being a third world country? Why did they want to turn America into a third world country? You've seen that. I don't get that. Yeah. That person who posts that, why do they keep trying to turn America into a third world country by allowing chickens? They need a history lesson. Is that, you know, do you consider, were we a third world country back in the 40s and 50s? And yeah, it's just amazing. Craziness. Thank you so much for joining us. I did have a comment in the chat room. They would love for you to mention those sites again so they can write them down or can join you in your fight. And well, what's next for you? I know you don't have – let's cover that first. What's next for you? You've had to rehome the chickens. I guess you're, again, continuing here with the state focusing on downtown under the Gold Dome and getting House Bill 853 hopefully passed by maybe summertime. And we all going to focus our efforts in that and hope that works out. Are you still kind of on a smaller scale, maybe still working locally as well, trying to educate, or are you going to see what this House bill does and then maybe get back to trying to pass it locally?
Well, as you mentioned, I had to rehome my flock. I found a nice family down in East Point, Georgia, where chickens are legal. you know, it was great because I was able to keep the flock together.
Yeah, that is fabulous.
And then the family got a flock that was already adjusted. They were newbies to the chicken thing. I will continue with the Backyard Chicken Alliance. We had a twofold purpose: to educate people and to work with the government to change the laws. So we will stay together as a group, you know, to educate people as more people come back to their roots and look into backyard chickenry. I want to be a resource for material and stuff like that. And, you know, we got a lot of good people, and it's nice to socialize and talk chicken. So I will continue with that. I am very much, I don't mean to put all my eggs in one basket, but I really feel like the state is going to be the way to change things in Cobb County. I got nothing. I mean, unless we just vote them all out and start over, which, you know, there's worse things that could happen.
Right.
The commissioners that are in there right now don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
One of the commissioners told me, we have plenty of real farmers in Cobb County. If you want fresh eggs, buy some from them.
Amazing.
And, I mean, that's just infuriating.
just doesn't get it. Doesn't get it at all.
And that commissioner's assistant flat told me at one of the commissioner meetings, she overheard somebody asking, well, you know, how do you feel – you know, how would you rate our chances of success? And that assistant turned around and said, we will never have chickens in Cobb County. It's just not going to happen. you know, folks like that really help motivate you. I try to anyway.
Exactly.
But the websites are www.gafoodrights.org, Georgia Food Rights.
Okay.
And the Cobb County, the Backyard Chicken Alliance of Cobb County is backyardchicks with an X .org. And I've cross-linked a lot, you know, because I really want the information out there for House Bill 853. You know, like you said at the beginning, I'm probably one of its biggest cheerleaders, just trying to encourage people to get together. One interesting fact is I believe that if we're successful with this state law, we will be the first state in the United States to have a law like this. I understand, no other state has a comprehensive law like this.
You said, okay, I'm sorry, GeorgiaFoodRights.org?
Yeah, G-A-F-O-O-G.
Oh, G-A, gotcha, okay. I was spelling it out. I apologize.
Yeah,
I was spelling
it's not
it out,
spelled
so.
Out, just G-A, sorry.
No, that's okay.
So.
Rights.org. I just wanted to put it in the chat room as a link so they could all go to it if they weren't going to type it in. There we go. Perfect. Okay, that link works, folks, if you're in the chat room, that third one there. I was like, I think I spelled Georgia right as I'm a native. I think I spelled it right.
I shortened it up to GA.
that's perfectly.
But, I mean, you've got, you know, and as you've pointed out, you've got an international audience, and we've got people from several different states monitoring our websites and have sent me emails saying, we're watching that situation because, mm-hmm. you know, we'd like to do the same thing here in Kansas and here in, I can't remember the other state, but so it's exciting. It really is.
It's exciting because we, you know, it could be, hey, you know, look what our state did. Look what the folks here, the good folks here did. They fought. It worked. And again, maybe this is the, you know, focus on the state level. Then you don't have to worry about all the tiny little battles going on in your state about in your little area. So I think it could be a set of huge precedents nationwide for homesteaders, urban agriculture, farmings, gardens, chicken keepers, beekeepers. I mean, really the whole nine yards. So I completely agree. Well, again, we've been talking to Joseph Pond, and he is a Cobb County resident here in the suburbs of Atlanta, and who had to rehome his chickens, unfortunately, after about a nine-month really battle with the county that he lives in. And he's now kind of pushing a state bill to be passed that would supersede, override, and invalidate the current law that would prevent him from keeping backyard chickens, pet chickens, for fresh eggs in his backyard responsibly. And so, Joseph, thank you very much for coming on the show. We wish you all the best. Please keep us posted with your battle, I guess, if you want to call it, with the county, and also everything that's going to be dealing with House Bill 853. We appreciate you coming on. We hope you have a great weekend.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow at the Northwest Georgia Chicken Show.
You know, I'm not going to be able to make that. I wish I could. I've been to that one before. Yeah, and there's one in Noonan coming up here,
right?
I think. Yeah, and I've attended that Noonan one, I think, the last two or three years in a row, but I'll be in Nashville for the Noonan one. They've invited me back up to Nashville to teach a class, so I'll be up there for the Noonan show. But that Noonan one is they're both fabulous, but that Noonan show is really probably one of the best in the country, and as far as anyone's in the country that really is getting a great reputation in Noonan. But I know personally the folks that are putting the one up there in Northwest Georgia, and it's going to be a great show too. Have fun tomorrow, and tell everybody I said hello up there.
Certainly will. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Since 1921, Stromberg's has been a family-owned and operated business, providing quality poultry and poultry supplies to their customers. Today, the Stromberg family offers over 200 different breeds of poultry, including chickens, waterfowl, and game birds. They also offer poultry supplies for the beginner or advanced poultry keeper. Stromberg should be on the top of your list when it comes time to order. Shop online at www.strombergschickens.com or call today at 1-800-720-1134. Remember, that's strombergschickens.com.
job for Super Chicken. You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We hope that you enjoyed today's radio show broadcasting live, and we've got a lot of guests in the chat room. Again, thank you very much for tuning in today. I know today was a special show that may interest you, and again, we want to invite you back. We do broadcast here weekdays, Monday through Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here, just the exact way you're listening now. The chat room is always open. It's always lively and can often be kind of a hoot as well. So we have a really good time. Since we do have a lot of unique listeners today, let me just very quickly kind of tell you our schedule so you'll have a better idea of what we're all about. Every single Monday, we welcome Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. He comes on and answers all of your chicken health questions and is a fabulous guest. The first Tuesday, we welcome the Heritage Chef, Steve Pope, to talk all about heritage cooking. The second Tuesday, we welcome the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. The third Tuesday, we welcome Andrew Odom, the founder of TinyRevolution.us, all about minimalist lifestyle living. And then, of course, the last Tuesday, we welcome the Society of Preservation of the Society for Preservation of Poultry Antiquities. Author Christine Heinrichs comes on. Wednesdays, the first and the third Wednesday, we welcome Garden Wise Living with Arlena, where we have garden education and garden shows on those 2 days. The first and third Thursday, we welcome poultry scientist Dr. Bridget McRae, PhD, to come on and also educate us more about our lovely chickens and pets and our backyards and our homesteads. In fact, this year, 2012, we are basically, no pun intended, dissecting the chicken. Yesterday we talked about the respiratory system. One day we're going to be talking about specifically the eyeball and then the beak and then the comb and then the wattle. So we're really getting down and dirty in specific parts of the chicken and learning all about the chickens in our backyard. The second and fourth Thursday, we welcome Richard Frudenberger, who is the publisher and chief technical writer at Back Home Magazine. He joins us. If you're a homesteader, just invaluable information. He'll talk about solar power, wind power, geothermal heating. We had a great show about wood, chopping wood, burning wood, storing wood. We've had a great show about cast iron, using cast iron, cooking on cast iron, cleaning on cast iron. And that's the second and fourth Thursday. And then on every Friday, every single Friday, we actually have Fun Friday, where we give away lots and lots of prizes from our sponsors. So today was an exception because it was very important for us to get our guest on today and educate everybody on what's going on here in the state of Georgia and where we can learn from each other on what's working and what's not and across the country with keeping backyard poultry, urban agriculture, gardens, and whatnot. So a little bit different show today other than our Fun Friday, but nonetheless, it is Friday. We hope you all have an absolute fabulous weekend, and the prizes that we would have normally given away today, we will be giving away on our Facebook page. Everybody loves our fun Facebook fan contests. You too can join us on Facebook for your chance to win. Facebook.com/The Chicken Whisperer. And you can get there, of course, also by going to our website, www.chickenwhisperer.com. So again, I want to say thank you very much for tuning in today, all of our regular listeners, all of the guests that tuned in today. We do hope you enjoyed the show. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Of course, my co-host was unable to attend today, Pat Foreman, author as well, but she is on when she absolutely possibly can, and we miss her when she's not here. So again, to all our regular listeners, also, you can listen to the show, very popular on iTunes. In fact, we were number 3 on iTunes just a couple of weeks ago. We're notoriously in the top 20, very frequently in the top 10, and occasionally up to number 3. Thanks to all our great listeners. You can listen to the archive of the show on iTunes.com, Podcast.com, Zoom.com, and, of course, BlogTalkRadio.com. So thank you very, very much for listening today. I hope you have an absolutely fabulous weekend with your family and friends, and hopefully we'll see you back here Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio with Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Oh.
Oh.